This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Right, so we pick up, we're still in the same sugya, that stuff, Gimel Amud Aleph and Gimel Amud Beis. And we're going to work in Tosfos. We've also got hi, who joined us just now?
Hi, it's Jared.
Hi, Jared. We've also got a piece of Tosfos Rid, which hopefully you have in front of you. We'll work through it. If you don't have it in front of you, you'll just listen as we work through it. And really what we're going to be looking at today is, from a conceptual perspective, we're really going to get into the meaning of a Kinyan Kesef. When the Torah talks about Kesef, is it talking about Kesef in the sense of money, that is legal tender, coins or silver or gold, something that can legally be used in transactions in a particular society? Is that what Kesef means? Or something that can be used for global transactions in any society? Is that what Kesef means? Or does Kesef mean value, the inherent monetary value in something? And when we talk about currency, that's just a representation of that value. But what really is Kesef? What do we mean by Kesef? And in the process, we're going to be clarifying Kinyan Chalifin. As I think we mentioned last week, this strange Kinyan of Kinyan Chalifin, which literally means bartering, but it takes two different forms in the Gemara. The one form is actually a barter, where I give you one object in exchange for another, and the other is a symbolic barter, where I just give you a handkerchief, a suda, a scarf, you raise it, and with that you transfer ownership to me. So that's the Kinyan Chalifin. And the question is really, what is that? Is that a form of currency? Are we really exchanging value for value? Or is it just a symbolic transfer? And how does that work in the case of Kiddushin? Or does it work in the case of Kiddushin? Or why does it not work in the case of Kiddushin? So you'll remember when the Gemara discussed on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph why it is that our Mishnah gives a number. Says there are three ways in which one can be koneh a woman, implying three and only three. And which are the ones we're leaving out? And we said, well, the one possibility is chuppah, that chuppah won't work for kiddushin, for erusin. And we went into that in some detail. And then according to Rav Huna, who believes that chuppah is a valid form of kiddushin, so according to Rav Huna, a man could take a woman under a chuppah and say, Harei at mekudeshes li b'chuppah zu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. And then a year later, he could take her under a chuppah again as an act of nisuyin and do the Sheva Brochas there. So according to Rav Huna, the Gemara says then, what is the exclusion of the Mishnah? What is that kinyan that I might have thought would work and doesn't work? And the Gemara said, Chalipin. Now, it's very clear, by the way, that although we don't necessarily paskin like Rav Huna as far as chuppah is concerned, the fact that chalipin is excluded as a means of kiddushin is universal. It's not only according to Rav Huna. We accept this logic in the halacha. It's paskined in halacha. So this piece of Gemara that we're learning is not just aliba de Rav Huna. It's not just according to Rav Huna. It's actual halacha. So the Gemara says chalipin is the one. Why might I have thought chalipin works, says the Gemara? Because chalipin works for a field, and if the field is of stay Ephron is the source of the whole Kinyan when we're talking about Kiddushin, why would I not have thought that chalipin works as well? Because chalipin works with a Kiddushin, with a field. So if we're learning a Gezerah Shova from the field, surely chalipin should be part of that Gezerah Shova. Gemara says that's a very good point, in fact. So why is it not so? The Gemara says, because chalipin can take place with less than a shove pruto, the isho befochos mishove pruto loy mekanya nafsho, and a woman does not give herself away for less than a shove pruto. And we queried that. That sounds so strange. A woman doesn't give herself away for less than a shove pruto, but for a pruto and a half, she will give herself away. It's such a small amount of money in any case. If less than a shove pruto is a gnai, if less than a shove pruto is disgraceful for her, cheapening for her to give herself away, why is shove pruto any better? Why is that okay? And we'll have a look at that as we go through the Rashi. Who's just joined us? Good morning.
Hi. This is New York.
Sorry, who is that?
David Isover in New York.
Hi, David. Hi. Morning. Good to have you with us. We're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph at the bottom, just turning over to Gimel Amud Beis. We've just summarized the Gemara. We're going to go into the Rashi now. So let's do the Rashi. Last week we did the Limutei Chuppah. This time we're doing Ularav Huna. That's four lines from the bottom of the page of Rashi on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Ula Rav Huna, and according to Rav Huna, Lekamon Bishmaitin, further on in our Gemara, and we discussed last week why it is that Rashi says that you need to learn Rav Huna up in order to understand this piece of Gemara. Chalipin, according to Rav Huna, Chalipin is the excluded Kinyan. Chalipin is the one that I would have thought might work, but doesn't. Says Rashi a very strange thing. What do I mean by Kinyan Chalipin? Kinyan Suda. Rashi tells us right at the outset, what we're talking about is not Kinyan Chalipin in the sense of a barter, but Kinyan Chalipin in the sense of that symbolic Kinyan of giving over a suda or giving over a scarf or a handkerchief as an act of Kinyan. That's what Rav Huna says is being excluded. And that's the Kinyan I might have thought works, because that Kinyan would work by Sode. How do I know it would work by Sode, says Rashi? We learn it from Rus. When he takes off his shoe in order to transfer ownership of the field, we're talking about the field over there, and the shoe is not paying for the field. The shoe is not the value of the field. Clearly, the shoe is just a kli. It's just an object that is being used as a sign, as a symbol. It's a symbolic kinyan. And that's the Kinyan Chalipin, that's Kinyan Suda. And since that's the source of the fact that Chalipin works for a Sodeh, says Rashi, the Chalipin we're talking about here is Kinyan Suda. And according to Rashi, that is the Iker Chalipin. When we talk about Chalipin, the real idea of Chalipin is not barter. The real idea of Chalipin is Kinyan Suda, the fact that I can do a symbolic exchange. I can make as if I'm giving you a scarf. I'm not even really giving it to you, because it's understood that you're going to give it right back to me. It's a symbolic exchange that works as a Kinyan, that functions as a Kinyan. That's really what Chalipin means. Where barter comes in, we've got to now look. That leaves us not clear as to what happens with barter. What happens if, for example, you have a... again, let's take the example of a car. You have a car that's worth $5,000, and I have a Rolex watch that's worth $5,000. So I give you the Rolex watch, and I say, let's do a Kinyan Chalipin. By me giving you this Rolex watch and you being magbia, you lifting up the watch, you're makne me, not only are you koine the watch, but you're makne the car. Now, here we're exchanging value for value. It's in lieu of money. Instead of paying you, I'm giving you the watch. What is that? Is that Kinyan Chalipin or is that Kinyan Kesef? That's what we're going to look at today. When we talk about Kesef, are we talking about the inherent value of silver, gold, currency, or objects? Or when we talk about Kinyan Kesef, do we mean just currency, just legal tender? In which case, the Rolex I've just given you is a Kinyan Chalipin, not a Kinyan Kesef. And if it's a Kinyan Chalipin, then how does that Kinyan work? What is the nature of that Kinyan Chalipin? It's not quite a Kinyan Suda. It's not just a symbol, and nor is it Kinyan Kesef. So that's really what we need to look into quite carefully and deeply today. Further in the Rashi, Chalipin itnehu b'sochus mishovi pruta, the kaimelon b'ferik hazov, because when we discuss the parameters of Kinyan Chalipin in Perik Hazohov and Bova Metzia, we say there, koinin b'kli, afapi she'eno shove pruto. Any kli can be used for kinyan chalipin. It just has to be a kli. It has to be an object that has a use. Because when we come to kelim, their definition is around its usability, its use, rather than its value. It isn't a kli if it doesn't have a use. It is a kli if it has a use, even though the object itself is worth less than a pruto. Not so in the case of currency. When we're looking at currency, it doesn't have to be a kli. But if the currency is not worth a pruto, it's not called currency. Currency is defined by its value and Kli is defined by its use. And therefore, if a Kinyan Chalipin can take place by using a Kli, it simply has to be something that has a use irrespective of its value. That's the din with Kinyan Chalipin. Says Rashi at the top of the next page, Loi Mekanya Nafshe, De Genai Hulo. Because it's a Genai, Rashi introduces the idea of Genai, and that means it's cheap for her. It's embarrassing, it's humiliating for a woman to accept less than a Shove Pruto. And therefore she doesn't do that. Hilkach Batil Lo L'Toiras Chalipin B'Kiddushin. And therefore, Rashi uses interesting language here, Toiras Chalipin, the Torah of Chalipin. What does the Torah of Chalipin mean? It means the whole halachic concept of Chalipin. So if you can imagine a package, a halachic package, with all the dinim of Chalipin in it, and all the different parameters of Chalipin, that package doesn't work for Kiddushin. V'afilu b'chli sheyesh bo shove pruto. Even if you use a diamond, or a diamond ring as the kli, or you use a Rolex watch that's worth $10,000. Iyohiv lo beloshen chalipin. If you use loshen chalipin, then it's in that package, and anything in that package doesn't work for kiddushin. If you use the word chalipin, if you use the word exchange, barter, it won't work. Ad iyohiv lo beturat loshen kinyan or kicho or kiddushin. Unless you use a different language, if you say kinyan, kicho, or kiddushin, then you're not using that package, you're using the kesef package. So Rashi seems to say here, kesef doesn't have to be currency. Kesef could be an object. But you have a choice when you use an object as a form of exchange. You can declare it as barter in the form of kesef. Instead of money, I'm giving you this object. Or you could use it as chalipin, as a form of suda. It doesn't matter what value this is. The value is irrelevant. I'm giving you an object as a kinyan suda, or I'm giving you an object as a kinyan chalipin. If you classify your action and the object in the package called chalipin, it will not work for kiddushin. You can use the very same object and give it in the very same way, but package it as kesef, using the words kicho, kinyan, or kiddushin, and then it will work, says Rashi. So this is a very interesting way of reasoning, and we use this in halacha a lot. The Rabbi Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik calls it conceptualization. It's actually dealing in concepts as objects. In the mind of the Torah learner, in the mind of the Gemara learner, our world is made up of concepts rather than of objects. And we work with concepts, and we manipulate concepts, we move them around. And so this, in fact, is a concept called chalipin. And when we're in this concept called chalipin, it doesn't work for kiddushin. That's what Rashi says, and we will come back to Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam asks on Rashi. We'll do the Rabbeinu Tam inside in the Tosfos a little later. Rabbeinu Tam says, but what about if she says it's not a gnai for me? What happens if a woman says, but this man is a prince for me? It's no gnai. I don't care what he's mekadesh me with. The fact is he's mekadesh me. The fact is he's marrying me. That's an honor for me. I couldn't care what the value of the object is. It doesn't matter that it's a worthless thing. It's his heart and his love, and that's what's beautiful, and I'm makneh myself. Why would that not work? Asks Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore Rabbeinu Tam changes the girsa here. He actually changes the wording of the Gemara and says it's appropriate not to say loy mekanya nafsho, that a woman is not maknes herself. That's not the wording, says Rabbeinu Tam. It ought to say, isha loy mekanya, that a woman, the isha befochs misha vepruta loy mekanya, remove the word nafsho. And that removes it from subjectivity. It's no longer the question of whether a woman is makne herself for less than a shove pruta. That's not the issue. The issue is that women generally don't. It's not about a woman. The Tosfos Rihazokin, if you look at Tosfos Rihazokin, most of you have probably got it in the Gemara, in the margin, Loi Mekanya Nafsho, he says, Hilkach, therefore, so he leaves the word Nafsho in, you'll notice. Tosfos Rihazokin has the word Nafsho, but he adds, Hilkach Afal Pishi Hi Roitzol Hiskadesh Befochus Mishove Pruto, even if a particular woman says, I'm willing to be miskadeshes for less than a shove pruta. Ein ha-kiddushin klum. It's not kiddushin. It doesn't work. V'hifkiru toiras chalipin b'kiddushi isho. Hifkiru the rabbonin cancelled out. They annulled the effect of kinyan chalipin for kiddushin, irrespective of the intent of the particular man and woman getting married. So since generally women are not makanya themselves for less than a shove pruta, the concept of chalipin is invalid, and the rabbonon, therefore, it's the rabbonon who invalidated it. So there are two ways that kinyan chalipin could be invalid. It could be invalid because this particular woman says, I'm not makne myself for less than a shove pruta. And that's our assumption. That's almost like a chazoka. We assume that women generally don't are not willing to be makne themselves for less than a shove pruta. However, says Tosfos Ri Hazokin, even if a particular woman says, I am willing to, and she declares it openly in front of Edim, we say, sorry, it still won't work. The Chachomim have made no distinction. They have simply removed Chalipin as one of the admissible ways of being a Kaddish woman. The idea, just to pause here for a moment and question the idea that a woman is not makanes herself for less than a shove pruto, but she is for a shove pruto. What's the difference between a shove pruto and less than a shove pruto? I think that we can say the difference is less than a shove pruto is not kesef. More than a shove pruto is kesef. What's the difference between kesef and not kesef? And I think here's the difference. If I give you a Rolex watch that's worth $10,000, the fact is, in 5 years' time, or 10 years' time, or 50 years' time, that Rolex watch is still a Rolex watch. It hasn't grown. Yes, maybe there's a market value for it, which could be higher or it could be lower. But it hasn't grown. A Rolex watch is not an investment. It's an object for use. It's an object of adornment, it's an object of use, but it's not an investment, no matter what the watch sellers will tell us. However, if I put money into an investment, then the intention is that in 5 years' time and 10 years' time, that money is not the same. If I put $100 into an investment, barring the unusual times in which we find ourselves at the moment, and even with these unusual times, over a long period of time, the expectation is that an investment grows. And even a pruto has the capacity to grow. Once it's legal tender, once it's kesef, it's valid for an investment. And that's the cutoff point that the Chachomim are making. Once it's a pruto, it's currency. If it's currency, then it's tender of investment nature. And it's not a gnai for a woman to be invested in, even if that investment is a small investment. Because investments grow, so it's symbolic of a man's willingness to invest in his wife. And that's something that's not a gnai. That's really the meaning of kinyan kesef. Kinyan kesef doesn't mean you purchase the wife, as we've seen. There isn't a kesef, and we'll see that even more clearly a little bit further on in the Gemara. It's very clear that this isn't a purchase. You're not becoming, it's not like a slave. You're not buying a person. You're buying certain very limited rights. You're acquiring certain rights. But what it really is investment. And you invest with currency. You don't invest with objects. You don't go to the stock exchange and give them a Rolex watch and buy shares with it. You don't go to your bank and buy instruments with your Rolex watch. You've got to convert it into cash, and cash is the instrument of investment. And so if you're Mekadesh, a woman with cash, no matter how small the amount of cash, as long as it's called cash, that's not a gnai. If it's not cash, it doesn't matter how much it's worth. It's not growth. What a woman wants is to be invested in a way that will grow, that the relationship will grow, that she will grow, that they will grow together. She wants that to be the understanding. And if that's the nature of the transaction, then it's not a gnai. But if the nature of the transaction is here's a diamond ring or here's a gold watch in return for certain rights in you, that's a static transaction. It's not a dynamic transaction. And that's not the transaction that the woman wants to be involved in. Let's move to the Tosfos Rid, where we're going to go into deeper analysis of this Kinyan Chalipin. And the Tosfos Rid asks, if you have the Tosafot read in front of you, then follow with me. It starts at the bottom of a page. I think it was the second page. I sent you two files. One file had three pages in it. So it's the second page of the first file is the beginning of the Tosafot read, and then page three of that file didn't come out so clearly, so I sent it as a separate file, and there you'll have the continuation of the Tosafot read. And the Tosafot read said, I'm going to read and translate it all the way through, so that those of you who are able to follow do so, and those of you who don't will follow as we go through it. Kashili tuva, I find this exceptionally difficult, says the Tosafot read. This is two lines from the bottom of the first page of Tosafot read. Kashili tuva, this is really difficult to understand why chalipin isn't working. V'im noson odom sudar le'isho sheyesh bo isho v'pruto. If a man gives a woman a sudar, he takes a beautiful silk scarf. It's worth well over a pruta. It might be worth quite a lot. It might be an Hermes scarf that's worth hundreds, if not more, dollars of value. And he gives that to her. Even though he may use the word chalipin, barter, amai eina mekudeshes. Why should that not work? So Tosafot really starting with the assumption that the idea of kesef is not currency, but that the idea of kesef is value. And if there's unquestionably monetary value in the object being handed over, if it's convertible into cash, then isn't the value what's important? V'hare yesh kan shove pruto. There is a shove pruto. V'kivan t'nekita be'gimel al gimel v'hi rasho yish l'oshkoi. And if she's holding at least 3x3 tfochim of the sudur, and therefore she's actually entitled to take it herself, she can snatch it and keep it, even if he didn't make that the condition. This is not a matzona al manas l'achzir. This is different from giving her a gift with the condition that you need to give it back to me. Although there's an implied understanding with Kinyan Sudra that it's only a symbolic act and you're going to give it back to me, but she could snatch it and she could keep it. And if she gives it back to him, she's doing so willingly. So even when you use a symbolic Kinyan Sudra, theoretically, the makne could keep the Sudra. If the makne, the person giving away the transaction, decides to give to return the sudor, that's of their own free will. Midato hi magzirose v'im hi roitzo u'shelo. And if she wants to, she could keep it. And therefore, he's being mekadesh her with an object that has real inherent value that is convertible to cash, and it should be able to be treated as cash. V'gam im kidsho b'mone v'achakach hi magziroso loy mirtzoino klum yish loy ma'she'ena mekudeshes. After all, if I give her $100 as a kiddushin, and she gives it back to me later on, does that make her not mekudeshes just because she's chosen to give it back to me? It was completely hers. The $100 belonged to her, and her choice to give it back to me is her choice, and the kiddushin is a valid kiddushin. Why would that be any different from a sudor? So I give her a scarf that's worth $100. She lifts the scarf up and gives it back to me of her own free will. Surely that too should be a valid kinyan. So the Tosafot read takes us into a different direction, and the Tosafot read says, "V'nirili loyma she'im bezeh hasudah levad nitratzes loy lekadsho." If the sudah is all there is here, if it's just the silk scarf that is being used as the for the kinyan, even if he used Loshon Chalipin, this is a valid Kiddushin. The Tosafot read goes off against all the other Rishonim. It's against Rashi, it's against Tosafot, it's against Tosafot Riyazokin, the Ritvo, the Rashbo, everybody. He takes his own line. And he says, no, Chalipin works fine. That's not what this Gemara means. If you give a woman a silk scarf that's worth more than a pruto, whether she gives it back to you or not, whether you use the words chalipin or you use some other words, it doesn't matter what words you're using. He totally disagrees with Rashi. The fact is you're giving her something of value. The value is more than a pruto, and therefore the kiddushin is a good kiddushin. So what's our Gemara talking about when it says, according to Rav Huna, chalipin doesn't work? That's not talking about the case we've just described. Ere kegoin. This is Shehitno imo lekad shel bemono. He's standing with this girl, and he's decided to get married. He proposes to her. She says yes. He doesn't want to take any risks. He wants to marry her there and then. But he doesn't have a gold ring with her, with him. He doesn't have any cash with him. He doesn't have anything. And she said, he says, look, I want to be mekudeshes to you. I want you to be mekudeshes to me. Hare at mekudeshesli b'mona. I'm being mekadesh you with $100 of silver coins or gold coins, which I don't have on me now. However, Elohit piso es hasudo shetiskadesh loy v'loy tuchel lachzer ba. I don't want to give you the option of backing out of this. I want us to be married from now. And I don't want the option to back out of it and not to give you the $100. So let's do a sudo. Here's this handkerchief or the scarf. Raise it as a kinyan sudo to demonstrate your willingness, your commitment to the kinyan. And thereby, I'm obligated to give you the $100, the $100, and you're obligated to accept the to accept that as kiddushin. And he will give her the $100 afterwards. Bechihai gavna vada eina mekudesh, says the Tosas. Read. That's what our Gemara is talking about. If you're going to use a kinyan sudo as an act of obligation, but the real kinyan is the $100 which you're not handing over at this time, that doesn't work. Why not? Kivan sheli nitratzes liskadish lo elo b'moneh. Her agreement was to be miskadeshes for the money. He says, I'm going to be mekadesh you with $100. This is not the act of kiddushin. This is just a symbol. And if she says, yes, that's fine. I'm willing to be miskadeshes to you for the $100. But umoneh enkan, the $100 hasn't yet been transferred. And since the money has not been transferred, there hasn't the that by which she has agreed to be miskadeshes hasn't been given. So the Tosfos Reed says there are two ways you can use the kinyan suda. There are two ways you can use a kinyan chalipin. You could use the kinyan chalipin in saying, this is the kinyan, there's no $100. It's the suda. Pare at mekudeshes li besuda zu, you are miskadeshes to me with this silk scarf, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. If she says yes, even though she's merely lifting up the scarf and handing it back to him immediately, then according to all the other Rishonim, that would not be valid. According to the Tosfos Reed, it would be perfectly valid. However, if he says, Hareyat mekudeshesli b'mone sheyeshli b'veisi, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and if he says, I'm being mekadesh you with the money that I have in my home, and I will give to you, and this suda is just an act of sincerity, an act of commitment between the two of us, that won't work. V'afapi shebesode koine hasudo. However, with a field, that would work. If a man buys a field for $100,000, and he doesn't have the $100,000 on him, but he does a kinyan sudor as an act of commitment, which will be followed by the payment, that will work. Then he has acquired the field and he is obligated to pay the $100. And that's the chalipin which works all over the Torah and the mechira is valid. The Gemara works out on in Perek Hazov from the words al ha-ge'ula. That chalipin works even though there's no other kinyan, there's no kesef, there's no shtar, there's no chazoko, there's only chalipin. Mash'en ken b'isha, but it won't work for a woman. The taima debilta k'dem farish. And the reason is, as the Gemara says, the kivan de chalipin itnu b'fachos mishove pruto, since chalipin could take place with an object worth less than a pruto, loy mekanya nafshe liskadish loy shilotucha lachzebe b'fachos mishove pruto, she is not willing to make it, to commit to something as important as marriage with an object that's worth less than a pruto. The kivan de bepochos letnu mishove pruto, nami letnu shen gzera shova lemechza, ad shi yiten lo esamone. And since we're learning this whole thing by gzera shova, we're saying that kesef doesn't work for less than a pruto, nor can chalipin work if it's less than a pruto. There has to be more than a pruto. And if I'm using the kinyan chalipin as the form of obligation, although that will work in a field, it won't work for the woman. But if the chalipin is worth more than a pruto, and this is the object by which I'm being koneh, not the money that's at home, but this object that I'm giving her is the kinyan chalip, is the kinyan of kiddushin, then it will work, says the Tosfos Reed. That's how he comes out. I want to take you through the, we won't do it inside, we'll do it outside, unless you email me during the week to say that you would like to do it inside, then I'm happy to do so. I'm also happy to send you the Avnei Miluim if it hasn't been sent already. But I want to go through the Avnei Miluim's reasoning, at least outside. The Avnei Miluim and others, the Ma'arit and others, have a lot of difficulty with this Tosfos Reed. It says, what does the Tosfos Reed say? If I give you, do a Kinyan Chalipin, with an object that's worth more than, well, let me start. There are two things that he says. The first thing he says is, if the suda is worth more than a pruta, and the suda is the object of kiddushin, there's no other $100 back home. This is it. Then it's valid. In other words, the Tosfos Reed holds that the value inherent in the scarf serves as currency. It serves as the shoveh pruta. So let's take that as principle number one. When we say that you need a shoveh pruta, we're not talking about currency necessarily. We're talking about inherent value that is convertible into currency. So a sudor that is worth more than a pruta is valid for kiddushin. Point number two, however, if I use the sudor as an act of intent, a symbolic commitment, to pay you $100 later, that won't work. The Maharit's question is, what happens if I say I will give you $100, I don't have $100 with me, I only have one silver dollar with me, and here I'm giving you the silver dollar. That will surely work. We know that that works. And the rest is called a piron, the rest remains a debt. So I've actually been mekadesh you with $100, of which I've paid you the first dollar. And so that's a proper kesef. Now, according to you then, Tosfos Reed, asks the Ma'arit, if a sudar, if the silk scarf is the same as money because it has the inherent value of a pruta, then if I use the silk scarf as the beginning and I say, here's the scarf, kinyan sudar, I've really got $100 at home and that's what I mekadesh you with. But here's the value in the scarf, then why wouldn't that work? If giving her $1 would work, when I'm really being mekadesh with $100, using the $1 under the chuppah, well, not under the chuppah, at the kiddushin. So we all come to the shul, and he says, Hare at mekudeshesli b'mea dollar, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and here's $1, the rest will come. That's valid. Why then shouldn't it work if he says, Harad Makudesh is Liba Mea Dollar, and he has a Suda? I understand if you want to say that Kesef means currency, and if it's an object, whether it's a Rolex watch or it's a Suda, that isn't Kesef, and therefore it's not valid. But you, Tosfos Reed, don't say that. You, Tosfos Reed, say that we go by the convertible value in an object. In that case, what's the difference between a Suda and the first dollar? And the Ma'arit goes on to try and resolve the Tosfos Reed, and various different Achronim do that as well. But the Avnei Miluim explains it with a great deal of clarity. And I want to use the Avnei Miluim's explanation because we get right to the essence of Kinyan Kesef and Kinyan Chalipin. And he bases it on a machloikes sma and taz. There's a difference of opinion between the sma and the taz, who are the two classical meforshim on Choshen Mishpat. And in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Kuf Lamed, at the very beginning, in Sifkoten Aleph, where they're talking about the fact that you can acquire a field with shove pruto. It doesn't have to be currency, it can be an object worth a pruto. That's a valid kinyan for a field. Says the sma, that is provided you're giving that object as all or part of the value of the field and not as a symbol. So So if I give, let's say I'm buying a property from you that's worth $100,000, and I say, well, I don't have $100,000 right here, but I do want to make a Kenyan kesef. I don't have any cash on me, but here, take my watch. My watch is worth $1,000. So take my watch as the as a deposit on the payment, and now I owe you another $999,000. Sorry, I owe you another $99,000 because I've put down $1,000, which is in the watch. That works as a Kenyan for a field, but not if it's a symbol. In other words, if it's a suda, that's not going to work for a field, says the Sma. The Taz disagrees and says, you see that it works with that you can give a pruto or a shove pruto. Remember, our Mishnah said you can be a kone and isho with kesef, even if it's a shove pruto, not just a pruto itself. So you can give an object that's worth a pruto if you do it as kesef. So I'm being mekadesh you with the $10 worth in this object, or I'm being mekadesh you with the $1,000 worth in this object. I'm being mekadesh you with the value of the object. Then it works. Says the Taz, clearly that's not the value of the woman. Nobody's suggesting that a woman is worth a pruto, or that the rights of marriage are worth a pruto. So clearly when we use kesef or shove kesef, currency or the equivalent of currency for a woman, clearly it's symbolic and it's not actual payment. And therefore he says that even if you do it as a symbol, it works for a woman and it works for a field. The Avni Miluim disagrees with the Taz and goes along the lines of the Sma, and says clearly in the case of a woman, even in the case of a woman, when you're mekadesh with kesef, when you give a woman money, that's value. And if the woman accepts a pruto, then she's accepting a pruto as the value of the transaction. She's willing to then give away her rights of exclusivity to her husband in return for a pruto. That's what it means. It's not a symbol. That's the value they've agreed for the purpose of this transaction. And again, although that might sound absurd, how would a woman do that, or what does that really mean? Don't forget, we learned that part of the Kenyan, of the idea of kicho, is persuasion. So it's not only the money, it's the money packaged together with the intention, with the heart, with the ability to persuade her of his sincerity and his desire for this marriage, that she agrees. But the monetary portion of the kicho is a pruto, and says the Avne Milim, that's value. That's not a symbol. And therefore he wants to explain the Tosfos read in the following way. He says, when I give you an object as a Kenyan, there could be two intentions in that object. The one intention is that the object is tchilas piroin. It's a down payment with the balance to follow, or it's a symbol with the total amount to follow. So once again, if I buy a field from you for $100,000, and I say, well, I haven't got $100,000 here. I want to use Kenyan kesef, but I don't have the kesef here. Here's a Rolex watch that's worth $1,000. Take this as a down payment, and I now owe you another $99,000. That's proper Kenyan kesef, says the Avne Miluim. That's a proper Kenyan kesef. It's true I haven't used currency. I've used an object that has a currency value that is convertible into currency. But I've used it as the first installment on an amount of money that is yet to be paid over to you. That's Kenyan kesef. Kenyan kesef does not require the total agreed value. That's not the Kenyan. I'm obligated to pay the total value ultimately, but transfer takes place the moment the Kenyan kesef takes place, and Kenyan kesef means all or part of the agreed price is transferred. That's what Kenyan kesef means. We've agreed on $100,000. I can perform the Kenyan kesef by giving you $100,000. Or I can perform the Kenyan kesef by giving you $1. And now I only have to give you $99,999. In other words, I have to give you $100,000 less the $1 I've already given to you. That's Kenyan kesef. However, if I just give you a Kenyan suda that might be worth $1, I give it to you. And I'm still going to give you the full $100,000. I'm not going to deduct anything out of the $100,000. That means what I've given to you now has only been symbolic. It hasn't been down payment. It hasn't been a deposit. That's Kenyan suda. So the Avnei Miluim, in explaining the Tosfos Rid, now really defines Kenyan Chalipin and Kenyan Suda. And he says, when I give you an object as a first installment, then I'm giving you the value in the object, and that's Kenyan Kesef. It's not even Kenyan Chalipin. It works through the value, not through the kli. It works through the value, and the value is mandatory. And the fact is, I'm going to deduct that value from the ultimate payment I give you. So clearly, this is the first payment, and it's kesef. However, when I'm still going to give you full price after the suda, therefore the suda is not being given to you in lieu of any payment whatever. And what is the suda there? It's only symbolic. That's Kenyan suda, and that's what doesn't work. So that actually works well, and that's really what Tosfos Rid means, says the Avnei Miluim. So if I just give you a Kenyan suda, and I say to you, this is the value in this Kenyan suda, the silk staff, there is $100 worth of value. And I'm being mekadesh you hareyat mekudeshes li besuda zeh. With this scarf, you're being mekudeshes. Whether or not the understanding is you're going to give it back to me, you don't have to give it back to me. And if you give it back to me, it's of your own free will. Then I've been mekadesh you with a total of $100 worth of value. And that's a good Kenyan. However, if I say I'm going to be mekadesh you with $100, and here's a Kenyan suda as a sign, and afterwards I'll give you the full $100, that's a Kenyan suda that will not work. In the third case, here's a Kenyan suda worth $10. Here's a suda worth $10. I mekadesh you with $100 that I'm going to give you later on, which means I'm going to give you another $90 because I've given you the suda that's worth $10. That would work because this is the first form of payment. So when Kenyan suda is used in the form of kesef, of value, it works. When it's used symbolically, it doesn't work. And the test as to which one you've used is whether there's money still to come and whether you're deducting the value of what you're giving from the money which you're ultimately going to pay. That determines whether you're transacting with kesef or you're transacting with suda. And if the suda, if you're using value, says the Tosfos Rid, I don't care what language you use. Unlike Rashi, I don't care whether you use Chalipin or you use Mekach or Kenyan, whatever it is. If you're using value, and this is the value you're being Mekadesh with, then this is a valid Kiddushin. If this is just symbolic of something that's going to take place later on, then until it's actually taken place, until you've given me the $100, there is no Kiddushin here at all. That's the approach of the Avnei Miluim, of the Tosfos Rid, as explained by the Avnei Miluim. We haven't yet got into the Tosfos, unfortunately, which we're going to have to do next week. We're only going to do the first part of the Tosfos. That's up to the Ve'im Tomer, which is about six lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. So there we'll have the view of Rabbeinu Tam, and the view of Rabbeinu Tam is different both from Rashi and from the Tosfos Rid. So we're going to have three Rishonim that we're working with. We're going to have Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos and the Tosfos Rid as the two primary views, and we're going to have to decide where Rashi fits. Is Rashi like one of them? He's certainly not like Rabbeinu Tam, as we'll see. Does Rashi agree with the Tosfos Rid? Does Rashi actually say the same thing as the Tosfos Rid? Or is Rashi a third view? And what is the nature of that third view? And then we'll have the whole spectrum of approach among the Rishonim to this Kenyan Chalipin and this Kenyan Suda and what it means. And we'll be able to understand conceptually and philosophically also how the Kenyan works and why it doesn't work in the case of Isha. So let's leave it there for the moment. I'm going to interrupt the recording or end the recording, but I'll stay on the line. If anybody has any questions to ask, please feel free to do that now.
Rabbi Levin, I have one.